Happy Friday and welcome into another episode of the Stripe Show Podcast, Happy Hour Edition. It is Friday morning, December 3rd. You know what time it is. I've got Starbucks, of course. They've been running out of venti straws. Starbucks, I don't know what's going on. Travis, I don't know if this is a pandemic going on in your part of the state, but they need to get their act together.
They've been running out of everything. This is first for me. I went to a Starbucks. I go to Starbucks about 5 days a week. My drink is an iced coffee with no classic. I can't handle all that sugar, but with almond milk. But anyway, I ordered a bottled water and they didn't have them.
No way.
Out of bottled water. It's like, I don't even recognize what's happening anymore. They don't have anything. Breakfast sandwiches, bottled water, straws. God.
They were out of cold brew when I went there on Sunday with Connor. Just a Sunday morning, wanted to have a nice little cold brew with my boyfriend, my dog, walked over there, just wanted a nice little iced coffee. Out of cold brew at the right hour of 8 a.m. At 8 a.m., you're out of cold brew. Please, get over yourselves.
I don't think it's their fault. I don't think it's not that person's fault that's taking your order, but it's Starbucks is struggling right now with supply.
Where do you even get a pink straw? Last week, my straw they gave me was blue. Where are you even getting this? Party City?
Probably Publix. What is this? Publix in the back, you know?
I don't even know what's going on. It's Party City, right.
That's where you're, yeah, exactly. The dollar store.
The quality is going down. My drink never tastes the same. I never know what I'm going to get. At this point, I might start converting to Dunkin'. I'm just going to be honest.
That's a big statement.
It is, but you know what? At least they have straws.
Hey, another news real quick. So this, you know, a lot of people recognize when I wear the Grizz stuff. So this is Montana Grizzlies, okay? And so my sister lives in Missoula. I grew up just across the border in northern Idaho. And the Grizz play tonight, Montana versus Eastern Washington. They're in the playoffs. It's Division I football. It's just not the top division. It's the one below. And so they're playoffs tonight, quarterfinals, Montana versus Eastern Washington in Missoula tonight. It's 9 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Plus. I'll be watching. Go Grizz. So that's, you know, here you go. Boom.
Well, I was going to ask you at the end of the podcast what you're doing tonight and this weekend, but you seem to just skip right to that. So I'm glad we got that over with.
Well, I'm Mr. Dad this weekend. My wife's out of town, so I've got both kids. So that's better known as survival mode. There'll be a little more iPad time, a little bit more, you know, just during the game and those kinds of things. So it'll be a bonding experience for myself and my kids, and we'll probably skip bath time. That's usually what we do. So hopefully Amber's not watching, and then, you know, little iPad games. I think I'm gonna go get him a puzzle. So that usually occupies him for at least like 10 minutes. Just so I can have some, you know, a little downtime. So that's the key. You got to spread it out. Like, you plug in, be present, play, boom, boom, boom. And then have a little downtime and you just kind of spread that out, you know, cause it's 2-on-1. And now see, they're 7 and 6. They're old enough now where they can start game planning against the other.
Oh yeah.
So it's a different game now. They're thinking together. I can see them. Eye contact, whispers. They have these little walkie-talkies. Like, what are you guys talking about? Nothing. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. It's game over.
Speeds just had a kid, right? Speeds did? Yeah, he wait.
He did. You know, he got married, and that was kind of, you know, the start of the descent. He was able to, what he said, sneak away to get to the Hero to play in the Bahamas. I don't know if that's what they say, perspective. That's the word that they like to throw out around these days. I don't know. You know, my take on Spieth. I don't know how that's going to work for him. I'm sure he hasn't slept well since the baby. So who knows how that's going to fare for him. But what I want to start with first is my boy JT got some LASIK surgery, which I thought was truly ironic that I read this headline today, because not only do I want LASIK surgery, but I did make the phone call yesterday to inquire about a consultation or evaluation or whatever they call it. yesterday, literally when JT announced that he got LASIK surgery. So I'm not saying that we're on the same wavelength, but he was wearing sunglasses yesterday, which people were kind of like, I wonder what that's about, whatever. He shot 67, one shot off the lead in the Hero World Challenge. But then he said, you know, I got LASIK surgery over a week ago, which is why he was wearing the sunglasses. He said, I've been wanting to do LASIK surgery for a while. It finally worked out to get it done. I don't usually wear sunglasses often, just trying to protect the eyes. Yeah, it's been nice to get it done. He said that his eyes look terrible, but his game doesn't. So apparently, you know, good for him. I'm looking into getting it done as well. I would like to say that I think it would be good for me, and obviously it's good for him. But why do I want it? Because I have too many expensive sunglasses that when I wear them, I can't see. So that's my reasoning. JT probably wants to see the golf ball. I just want it for vanity reasons. But that was an interesting headline to read. But you are blind as a bat, so yeah. Maybe you should look into it as well.
Yeah, I probably should. I am blind. I don't have my contacts in. I can't see a thing. And it's probably a good thing for JT because, you know, made 8 birdies, doubled the last hole yesterday. He shot 67. So 8 birdies usually will gets it done, you know, when you're trying to compete and win tournaments. But it's a good idea because his putter, you know, as of late coming into this, has been very, very chilly. So perhaps it's his eyes and, you know, the eyes will make a difference in getting it cleaned up.
I will say, have you read anything or do you know anybody who's had LASIK?
As far as tour players?
No, just in general, like about the surgery in general.
Oh, no, I couldn't really speak to that.
What they typically say, and this could be wrong, but is if you're fixing a far, like a not seeing well far issue, is that then typically your up close vision suffers a little bit. It's obviously mm-hmm. it's not perfect or it's not terrible, but so I'm wondering how that translates to golf, right? Because yeah. If he wears contacts, I wonder what his vision was like before. I'm sure he wasn't the first PGA Tour player to ever get this done.
No.
I'm just wondering what that looks like when, you know, you're looking at the ball far away and then looking down at the green. I just wonder what the difference is that he's seeing. Cause it is a pretty immediate surgery. Like I know people who just walk out of the room and can immediately see pretty well. So I'm just curious what that's like. The article I read was pretty short on Golf Channel, but I wish he would have elaborated on that a little bit more.
Well, I'm sure they've done the research on, you know, this is what it's going to probably feel like when you recover in the calibration or recalibration perhaps that might be needed post, but whatever happened, he might want to consider wearing those glasses forever. I mean, you make just 8 birdies,
little Phil style.
Yeah, he makes some putts. Maybe this is what he needed. You know, he can't see. You know, now he can see and he can putt. It's gonna be interesting with JT. Like I've been talking about him on the podcast, texting with his coach a little bit. John Graham is putting coach. And I'm really curious on what the approach is there for him to streamline this putter a little bit. Cause it's been really up and down, and for JT to maximize his ball striking, he's got to get more consistent with the putter. Things fell off after he won the Players Championship. So I'm just curious on what's happening there. This eye surgery, perhaps, probably going to help. I don't know why you wouldn't do it if it wasn't going to help. But for him to be consistent and rip off 3-4 wins, which he's out to me, that's JT. I mean, he hits the ball that good. His short game's that good. What's the plan there with the putter to just bring these highs and lows in a little bit, still have those streaks where he can go, but then not just have this bottom that's just way down there. And all of a sudden, the hell is he doing? Like he can't make anything, you know? So I'm curious to watch JT next year.
I think if he could fix that putting and get to a consistent stroke, a consistent feel over the ball, especially on the greens. I've always said that I think he could be what I wish a Michelle Wee or a Lexi Thompson could be for men's golf, as far as an American who could really move the needle in men's golf. Like, he could be that Jordan Spieth, like, idol for the PGA Tour, as far as like a guy who could really step up and dominate on the PGA Tour. And I would love to see that for him. He's, you know, really charitable. He loves to do the charity events. He's great to go out and walk with kids and do all the, you know, PGA Tour kids spots on social, and doing all the donating his shoes to the tour and stuff like that. He's just, I would just love to see him figure it out. And I'm so with you on that. And I would love to see him break away and figure it out this year. But another guy who is, quote, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel after lackluster is quite the word to use, stretch of golf, is Brooks Koepka. Listen to this stat in this Golf Channel article. In 8 tour starts since finishing tied for 6th at the Open last July, Brooks Koepka has not registered a top 20. And that's the longest span in his tour career. And here's a quote from yesterday. He had a solid round, first round at the Hero World Challenge. He's one off the lead, tied with JT. He quoted, said, "I worked my tail off over the last 2 months and I finally see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm damn close. And it was nice to come out today and see the shots that come out the right window, right flight, right shape, everything with the right spin. Just go work on it here for a little bit more and getting better every day." So I don't know if that was, you know, when he worked with Randy Smith that time and everyone was like, what's going on here? But I know, remember when they said they were working on getting more underneath the ball? Did you find that strange? Because isn't that something where tour players are, I mean, you know more about this than me, trying to compress the ball more? Yeah. What's that about?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what they were doing there specifically with Randy, and just, you know, he was out there when he was grinding. And yeah, Brooks definitely has put more time in. He's, I think he called himself now, quote, a range rat, which, you know, before his posturing was more, yeah, I don't really practice, I just play and show up for major championships. Right. But now, you know, he did lose his game. And I talked about it a lot. Like, he did lose his game, and he, you know, he separated from his longtime coach, Claude Harmon III. And, you know, I think, as he worked through that, some habits probably, you know, showed up, and he started to kind of spiral down a tough stretch. His putter wasn't very good. You know, and when you're not hitting it good and you're not putting good, then that's what happens when you go, let's see, from in October, he goes 67th, 38th, and then back-to-back missed cuts in November. And going in, I was like, yeah, I think Bryson will probably put it on Brooks, you know, considering how Brooks has played. But what I didn't take into consideration was Bryson probably hasn't hit another club in his bag other than his driver for 2 months, you know,
two months. You mean, like,
I mean that's all you see Bryson doing is wailing on his driver. It's like, does he ever work on his wedge? I mean, anyway, and Chris Coleman is going to come on next week. So that's going to be a really good podcast. By the way, he'll be on next week, and I've got a lot of questions for Chris about the training regimen of Bryson here in December, and is he committed to the other parts of his game to take that next step and really be dominant? Cause he can be dominant. You know, he can get to number one the way that he drives it and putts it. So anyway, Brooks is, look, they're going to figure it out, new equipment, and he's starting to figure it out. And when he does, we know Brooks is one of the best players in the world. So his iron game looked much better yesterday. He made some putts. Let's see if he can keep it going here. But the new equipment stuff seems to be pretty seamless at this point.
Yeah, he made a comment during the match saying, you know, that the driver was the best he's ever played in Strixon. And I thought that was a testament to how he feels about the Strixon equipment change, which is interesting. And going back to Bryson, I mean, God, that was painful to watch him putt in Las Vegas. I mean, it was like, I had to turn away from the TV. Yeah. I was like, this is, you can't even make a 4-footer. Like, this is not good. So I don't know. I don't know about Bryson right now, but Tiger is still hitting balls on the range, which I saw a tweet that said it's like watching an NFL coach warming up on the field before play. Like, he's not even playing in the event, but he's just out there ripping balls next to a cart. Right. Like, just, hey, I'm still here, everyone. Look at me. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Doing it for the clicks. Gotta love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'll win the PIP, right? He's posted, there's two swings of him out there, and he's going to win the Player Impact Program. I mean, I think Tiger is just setting the bar very low, low expectations. Like, you know, I got a long ways to go. Five back surgeries, five knee surgeries, now the right leg. And man, it's been a haul. It's been a long stretch. And I can't even imagine the mental fortitude it's taken to just keep going here and grinding. And, but I think he's setting the bar low. Like, I got a long ways to go, but he knows in the back of his head, yeah, I'll plant a few. And there you out there ripping three wood off the fairway, you know, like, okay, wait a minute. He's going to be, okay. I see what's happening here. There's no question in my mind. He'll play in some tournaments next year. When, I don't know, but he's on his way back.
Yeah. I think it's been from that press conference earlier this week till now, just seeing him, like when you talked to Brett McCabe yesterday, he had a very good point saying that watching Tiger come back to the joy of the game.
Yeah.
It just, even in this past 4 days, has been really fun, right?
Yeah.
So it's been really interesting seeing him smile again, since we haven't seen him, period, in 8-9 months, right? So it's just been a joy for all of us who, you know, watch Twitter, watch Golf Channel, watch everything golf media every day, to have this much of him when we haven't had him in so long. It's just been a real treat, especially at his event, with the, you know, many of the world's best players. So it's been pretty exciting.
You know, as weird as this might sound, I think it's for the sport, seeing him, it's one thing to see him at the event talking at the podium, that we know drives clicks, but the fact that he hit balls, I think just takes it to an entirely another level, you know, that because Tiger, you know, I watch a lot of sports shows, and these sports shows don't talk about golf ever. And then all of a sudden there's a golf segment and it's Tiger. He's at the podium talking and he hits a ball. And it's like, I don't know. It just kind of hits you differently, right? Oh, there's Tiger. It's great to see him. He smiled. Okay. Wait a minute. Did he just rip a fairway wood? You know, it's like you just go, your mind just starts going to a whole nother level of wow. You know? So I don't know. I think it's huge. The fact that he's out there hitting balls. I mean, it's amazing. It really is, to think all the stuff that he's been through, the physical challenge, not just the physical challenge, the mental challenge. I mean, you know, like he said, yeah, just nice to go outside and feel the sun. I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's the one thing Tiger knows how to do is rehab. I mean, he's been through it. He can talk to you about that a little bit, but it sounds like this right leg, whole nother level of rehab, I'm sure, because you get down to that ankle and, you know, and just the whole leg down into what he did to that foot. Man, there's got to be a lot of painful days, I would imagine, in rehabilitation. But here he is. He's standing up. He's ripping fairway woods in December. It's like, damn. Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it's the sport's in a great spot. It really is, heading in the next year. Lots of cool storylines.
I mean, we have to address the elephant in the room about the whole Tiger thing. I mean, are we going to talk about the fact that his arms look maybe bigger than Bryson's?
Yeah.
And Bryson's in the gym every day and Tiger's been bedridden for 10 months. Like, are what?
Well, he said that the crutches, his, you know, his triceps were jacked, right? I was thinking about just going to buy some crutches and just start limping around and, you know.
So
yeah, he looks big.
Who's going to anonymously Amazon Prime Bryson some crutches?
Trust me, Bryson's, he's probably got the crutches and they're weighted down, and, you know, and someone's videoing him as he's walking to see what his right arm, what, you know, they're probably in 3D measuring that. Yeah.
That's too good. I saw them side by side and I was like, dang, Bryson's got some work to do. There's no way. I'm sorry.
Tiger won't be that big when he plays.
that picture that Bryson posted in his hotel room the night before the match, there's no way. And I'm not saying that Bryson, I'm sorry, but Bryson probably doesn't know how to use Photoshop. There's no way that Bryson's abs look like that and his arms are that small. There's just like no way. Like proportionally, I mean, come on.
I don't know. You know, guys usually skip leg day. You know, they usually skip leg day and just get, you know, they want to do buys and tries and shrugs and like.
What was that? Can you do that again?
It's Bryson's funny, man. He's a damn trip. He's great. Captivating, interesting. You know, I have to think to myself, like, how many beverages I would have to make the decision to take a picture of me with my shirt off, flexing my abs, and then actually post it. Like I've done some crazy shit, but that would take, that'd be a lot of alcohol for me to get to even consider.
But you're missing so many steps though. You're missing like the lotion on the body. You're missing the self timer on the phone. You're missing having an Android, first of all, period. You're missing like being alone in your hotel room in Las Vegas at like 9 p.m. before the match, first of all. Like, yes, there's taking a picture of yourself. That's all good and well. But all the other things make it like so much more cringeworthy. And if he did have somebody else take it, think about like how much even worse that is.
Yeah.
I'm just that was like 2 weeks ago and I'm not even over it, but whatever. Anyway,
I can't get that picture out of your mind.
No, I can't. And not in a good way. Oh, wait, one last thing about that. Okay. Do you remember the picture of him and Bryson, like right eye to eye on one of the challenge holes of the match or whatever?
Yep.
I had no idea Bryson was taller than Brooks.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
I thought for some reason, I've seen Bryson in person. I guess I've never seen them like side by side. I wanted Bryson to be like 5'8" for some reason.
Yeah, no, he's a little taller than that. Yeah, that whole thing was just, I didn't even watch it. I talked about it. I don't know why. I mean, I just wasn't interested. Like it's kind of come and gone. It feels too manufactured now. If those two would have played in an event right out, you know, during this, must watch TV.
What if the theory is that maybe Brooks is coming around in the last couple of weeks? No offense to his caddy, Rick, because his brother's on the bag.
No.
No?
No. I don't think so. I mean, no. I don't think that's the case. I think Brooks genuinely, from a technique standpoint, was going down the wrong hole. And I think he's worked hard to kind of get himself out of that. I think it's all technique based, ball striking. Probably, if I had to guess, probably leaked into his putter a little bit. And now he's, you know, we see it all the time. Like a lot of guys, you know, sometimes like it works where they're a really good putter. And then their ball striking gets so bad that all of a sudden now the putter has so much stress on it, then their putting kind of falls. Like that was Spieth. And then, you know, the other way it can work that way too. So I think for Koepka, it was technique related for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, coming down to one of our last topics here, and this is, we've got some takes. The Saudi event. Mm-hmm. In a couple months, parallel to the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Yes.
We've got some takes from
coming up. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Colin Morikawa and Xander. So let me read you the quotes first and then we will discuss. So both Colin and Xander were asked yesterday on Thursday where they stand on playing the Saudi event in a couple months. Obviously there was the list of players released of who's committed. Do you have that up, Travis?
The release of players that are committed to play in Saudi Arabia. Yes. Yeah. So
in that event. Yeah.
So right now the committed players in the Saudi Arabia event, which for the record is not part of the European tour anymore. This is now part of the Asian tour. Mm-hmm. So Phil Mickelson's there. Dustin Johnson, Graham McDowell, Abe Anser, Westwood, Fleetwood, Stenson, Nah, Kokrak, DeChambeau, Garcia, Terrell Hatton, Paul Casey, Duffner, Lowry, Neiman, Oosthuizen, Xander Schauffele, Adam Scott, Henrik Stenson, Varner, Bubba Watson.
Okay. Pretty big names there.
Yeah, good list.
It's February 3rd through 6th at Royal Greens Golf and Country Club. And in the Hero World Challenge yesterday, a couple of the players were asked about it. Colin Morikawa was asked where he stands on playing the event. His response here was his quote, "I think at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is grow the game. So what's going to be the best for us professional golfers to grow the game? How do we create this outlet that's not just for a U.S. market, but is global?" Interesting take. And then Xander was asked a similar question. He was asked if he has a problem with the PGA Tour telling him he can't play anywhere else. His response was, "I mean, yeah, I feel it's very absolute. I feel like there just needs to be some sort of counter in the way certain things work. I mean, I'll try and do what I need to do, and they'll tell me what I can and can't do at a certain point. But I feel like they need to counter. They can't just tell me, no, you can't do this, then kick rocks. That's not really how I want to do things," end quote. Tiger said his alliance is with the PGA Tour earlier this week in his press conference. And as of right now, the PGA Tour is still deciding if they will allow at least 25 of its members to play that Saudi international tournament, as Travis just listed the players. The tour spokesperson told golfchannel.com that they have not granted any conflicting event releases yet, and they can do so up until 30 days prior to the first, or until the event. So that will be interesting, but listen to this. This is from the Golf Channel article. It says players are required to obtain a conflicting event release to play tournaments that aren't sanctioned by the tour. And there was speculation that when the European Tour dropped the Saudi International from its schedule earlier this year, that the PGA Tour might deny the releases. But again, the PGA Tour has up until 30 days before the event's first round. And right now they're still deciding. Right. So Travis, what's your take on Colin and Xander's comments here?
First and foremost, there's a lot there to unpack, but I think first and foremost, the players right now have the most leverage that they've had perhaps ever. Certainly Xander and Colin, who are relatively young guys. And the leverage is that there's a competitor at the table, right? That's trying to compete with the PGA Tour. And the PGA Tour, up to this point in their career, had no competitors. The European Tour is not a competitor. The European Tour has been stripped down. All those players have moved to America. And the European Tour smartly aligned themselves with the PGA Tour. And now they've made it the DP World Tour, which positions the PGA Tour more globally. So there has been no competitor. Now all of a sudden there's all this money at the table, right? With this, and there's two different leagues, which I talked about. There's the Premier League, totally separate, but this is the Super League we're talking about. This is the Saudi Arabia money that's going to be kind of positioned in on the Asian Tour. They're going to use the Asian Tour as the platform. And so here's this competitor, right, on a global stage that they've never had before in the PGA Tour. And the PGA Tour has had to make some, they've had to make some moves. They've made some really big moves. There's a lot of money being pumped into next year. I talked about that money and how much it's spread out all over all of these different ways that these players can make money. And it's really geared towards the stars, the top ranked players like Xander and Morikawa. So these two, more than a Kokrak, more than a Harold Varner III, more than some of these other players, they have some leverage now, right? And they're just going to keep their options open and they're going to play at Switzerland. And you know, I get that. I respect that. At the same time, Samantha, I'm a little surprised that Xander and Colin didn't wrap their arms a little bit more around the PGA Tour. I'm a little surprised. Like, you can keep your options open, but I felt like they would maybe give a little bit of confidence to the PGA Tour and wrap their arms around them, as Tiger did completely. Tiger, hey, my career has been with the PGA Tour. I think he said my legacy is the PGA Tour. Tiger is the PGA Tour, has been through my generation for sure. So, you know, with Tiger's stance, we know Rory's kind of backed out and said, no, I'm not going to play. You know, he's in line with the tour. Those are big statements for the tour. Tiger saying that, that's huge. So I'm just surprised a little bit. You know, I understand their position from a business standpoint. I totally get it, respect it, but I'm surprised they didn't wrap their arms around it. To Xander, you can't just, you know, his quote was, you can't kick rocks and you got to offer me something. Xander, the Waste Management Phoenix opens that week, right? I mean, you can go play in that. You can go play in all of these other tournaments that allows you to make a living. So why are these guys going to Saudi Arabia? Is it because they want to go to Saudi Arabia? Is that why they want to go over there and maybe invest in some property and build a house over there? Right? Is that what it's about? Is it really about growing the game, Colin? I respect that. I totally respect that. I think it's a cop-out statement in many ways. It's easy to say. I like to grow the game, but everything that I do is not about growing the game. And I think Colin making that statement just kind of hits me wrong, because if that's your single goal is about growing the game, then your impact in Asia and playing a schedule over there would probably have a bigger impact in those markets outside of the United States than you playing on the PGA Tour, if that's your goal. And I respect that. But if that's not your goal, then let's push it down a little bit. Why are these guys going to Saudi Arabia to play? Because it's guaranteed money. There's an appearance fee and a lot of it. That's why they're going. And that's the bottom line. I mean, am I missing something else other than that? Pare it down, keep it simple. Hey, come over for a week. We'll pay a half a mil, 2 mil, 3 mil. I don't know what the number is. And it's guaranteed. Just come up and show and listen to what we have to say about this Super League. I mean, Samantha, if someone offered me $1 million to go to this or that to play or guarantee just until, I mean, yeah, from a business standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. I don't think the PGA Tour, and I'll finish with this, I don't think the PGA Tour will keep these guys from going. I think they'll let them go. And I think the tour now, I honestly think what they've done in the added money into purses, the added money into the PIP program, which was 40, now it's 50. The FedEx Cup playoffs was, I think, 9.5. Now it's 15. The Comcast top 10 was 10 million. Now it's 20. Like, there's a ton of money being pushed in here. And it's all layered towards players like Xander and Colin. That's where they want to pad that money. And so they've done a lot, you know, they've come to the table. And so now it's like, look, hey, we're pushing forward. We're out there. Now I think they sit back. Hey, we're comfortable. Our stance. You guys want to go play once, go play once. Colin, if you want to go play a full schedule on the Asian tour and that's where you want to align yourself, I think go knock yourself out, because I think the tour is so strong and they've made the steps now, like, have some confidence in what you've got. You've got enough guys. I'd be surprised if the Super League is going to get enough guys full time to play 18 events or whatever it is over there. Let's be real. Maybe they do. I might be wrong, but a one time off what they've done, I think you hold pat, knock yourself out.
I agree. Everything you said, I think the tour is showing a little bit of self-consciousness by being like, we're still deciding. I agree. I think that they do have a strong enough product to let them go, but I think that they're showing a little bit of, well, we don't know, you know, we'll see. I don't love that. Yeah. I think they should show a little bit more confidence and like, yeah, go for it. You'll see how we're better. You know what I'm saying? And my problem with this is that these players knew exactly what they were getting into when they got their PGA Tour card and they became professional golfers, and they knew that they weren't going to get guaranteed money like the NFL players and the NBA players and all these other sports do when they sign up or they, you know, get guaranteed money to be salaried team players for a sports franchise with an owner, right? They knew that they are independent contractors playing for themselves with different sponsorships for apparel and equipment. And they knew that that's what they were getting themselves into. This is not something that's changed in the past year, in the past 6 months, in the past 5 years, in the past 10 years. This is not something that's changed. So why all of a sudden is this an issue? Why are we all of a sudden throwing our hands up in the air and saying, I want more money? All of a sudden, this is an issue because somebody raised it to our attention. But if nobody would have made it an issue, nobody would have raised a flag saying you could be getting more money. Nobody would have ever said anything about it. You would have never done anything about it. You would have never done, like, you would have never started your own tour to solve the issue that you didn't even know was there. So now all of a sudden you're going to pitch a fit about it, throw your own tour under the bus who made you the star that you are. Right. I have an issue with that personally.
Yeah. I think it's a fair take. I think what is different is there's competition now. That's what's different. And the competition, and again, for those that follow the podcast, I've been talking about this a great deal and soapboxing on the fact that I think this competition will strengthen the PGA Tour in the end. And, you know, competition generally is a really good thing in life, right? And in business. And let's face it, the PGA Tour, like, there is no competition, you know, without the European Tour. The Asian Tour is, you know, historically is not competition. The Australian Tour is not competition. I mean, they, you know, can have their alliances and whatnot, but, you know, the PGA Tour is a 10,000 pound gorilla. It is it. And now there's competition. We want to come in and we're going to attack what we see as weaknesses and try to rally up the top players in the world to come over and attack those weaknesses and see if we can gain some market share with that. So I understand where they're coming from. And I think when you're throwing around that kind of money, then people listen. And now players can listen, and as business people and as independent contractors, they can use it as leverage. And that's, I think, is smart. I mean, I think you have to do that. You know, it's like being an employee, at a place and you're making X amount of money, right? And then all of a sudden someone calls you and say, hey, we've been kind of scouting you and we want you to come to work for us. And here's who we are and we'll pay you double X. Right. And you're like, whoa. Okay. So do you just like, nah, I'm cool. I'm good making, you know, or do you like, hey, gosh, yeah, I'll listen. You know, like that's kind of the same thing, right? Yeah, I'll listen. And yeah, this is what we do. Yeah, that's very pay. So now you go to your boss and you're like, gosh, you know, I got this offer. I'm going to take it. They're like, what would they offer you? Double X. Let me make a counter. Can you give me 24 hours? Right? Like in the basic terms of business, that's what's happening here. PGA Tour counters 9.5 now to 15 million in FedEx. We're going to expand the WGC. It's going to be something different, but we're going to expand it around. There's probably going to be like a 4 to 6 tournaments, guaranteed money just for the top players. All of this, Samantha, is really about probably 15 guys at the end of the day. It's all this is all about. I mean, in all due respect, this is not about Jason Kokrak. This is not about Kevin Na. This is not about Harold Varner III. It's not about them. This is and now they're going to benefit. They're going to benefit.
Right.
But this is about Rahm, McIlroy, Phil, he's 50. I get it, but he's a big name. Second best player of our generation. Huge following. This is about DJ. This is about Spieth. This is about JT. You know, this is who the Brooks, Bryson, Xander, probably Cantlay. Like, you know, like there's 10, 11 names right there. It's about 15 guys. That's what this is all about. And those 15 guys have leverage now. And they're like, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So I guess my question is, so you look at the NBA. Let me pull up the Googler. LeBron James salary.
$35 million this year, guaranteed. 1 year contract, I think.
2022, $41.1 million.
All right. So it's up. So he does a 1 year max. So it's probably, yeah, it's went up. So it's 41 mil. Yeah.
41 million. Okay. So what do these players want to happen? Do they want the PGA Tour to take the top 15 guys, put them in a room going into next season? And do they want to have a bidding war and have guaranteed money for, and then it just doesn't matter how they play. And then at the start of the next season, it goes to, and then the next top 15 guys sit in the room like that. I mean, does that really make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think it does in that, like, yeah. I mean, if you're going to sell the tour,
what's the point in practicing?
Well, the point is, yeah, you got to play, right? You got to play and you got to be there. But if the tour is going to use, you know, if you're one of the stars of the PGA Tour and your name is associated with that, and it's out forward facing with these sales pitches to partners, right? Because when you say PGA Tour, we'll say, well, here's what you get in these eyeballs. But what is the PGA Tour? It's the players, right? So who are the top players? These 15 guys. And the hard part, when you sign up, you don't know if those 15 guys are going to play. Like, that's the hard part. So you don't know if they're going to play, and you don't know if they're going to make the cut. So there's a lot of risk there, right? And that's one of the things with these super leagues is that it would be like an 18 tournament. Like, it's like they all play, like every, they're playing and there's no cut. So you're guaranteed them to be there. So yeah, I think with the tour leading with the stars, and if you're one of those stars, and yet, okay, you're selling me as part of the tour, right? As part of the package, and all this money's coming in, and yet I got to go out there and prove myself, make the cut, and those kinds of things, and compete for the same dollars that the guys that are 110 and 111 on the money, right? Money list. But yet I have way more marketability and power and leverage in the way that you're selling it to these corporate sponsors. I mean, yeah, I can see where that would come from. Yeah, I need a little bit more of a pad there, right? If I'm one of the superstars, because this is a star-driven league. This is all, I mean, PGA Tour is a star-driven league. The NBA is a star-driven league. The NFL, not so much. It's a star-driven league. Without the stars, you can't sell it, right? You can sell it, but it's not going to be for what the numbers they're selling it for right now, right? If it was, then you would just sell the Korn Ferry Tour. Korn Ferry Tour doesn't have Rom and those guys. So yeah, I think, see, again, I think just moving the needle this way some, and that a little more money in there for these superstars that they're playing for and padding that, I think makes a lot of sense. I do think in the end, Samantha, and I'll finish with this, I think in the end, what's going to happen here is there's going to be, and it's probably 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, I think we'll have up here, let's just say it's the PGA Tour, right? And the PGA Tour is going to be made up of your, maybe they'll call it, maybe it's the DP World Tour. Maybe the top shelf is the DP World Tour. And it will be 12 events, best players in the world, right? The top 50. And they play in those events guaranteed. Guaranteed money. Top purses, right? And then underneath that will be PGA Tour, European Tour, like, you know, like you'll have your others, or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know, but there's going to be the top one, and the PGA Tour is going to run it, but it's going to be your top players, guaranteed money, 12 events, race to the FedEx Cup playoffs. And then underneath that, there'll be these other events that you can play in where then you bring in all the other members, right? And you go to Hilton Heads and you go to these other things, and that makes up that. So that's where it's going. When we get there, I don't know, but I think in the end, it'll strengthen the tour because it's going to pad the star. And the star needs to be padded a little bit right now, I think. And I think that's an okay thing. I just like to see them wrap their arms just a little bit more and just give me a little squeeze right now, Xander. Colin, give them a little squeeze, the PGA Tour, just a little.
I think, yeah, the last thing I'll say is that I think the younger guys, and I don't know, this is just from the statements that I've read. Obviously, I haven't talked to them or anything, but I think they're falling a little bit into the, this is what I think I'm supposed to say, and this is what I think I'm supposed to be mad about, right? Like, this is kind of what the people in the 20 and 30 somethings are doing nowadays. So this is what I'm supposed to say, and this is what I'm supposed to feel, and I'm not really thinking for myself, and this is just what I'm supposed to do. But let's not forget who made you who you are. Let's not forget where you came from.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, you know, who made you all the money you have and where you got your start. And, you know, let's not forget what you signed up for. And you knew exactly what you were getting into. And I'm not saying that maybe there's not something to look at in Saudi. Sure, maybe there is. But I don't know. There's just something doesn't sit right with me about it. And I'm
it's
just
uncomfortable.
Saying,
competition pushes you, makes you think differently, you know? And, you know, that's where we're at. I think the last thing here is all these guys have sponsors too, and they pay them a lot of money. And these sponsors want eyeballs. So, you know, that weighs into this, right? We're paying you a lot of money, this and this, and now you're telling me you're going to go play over here. You know, like, okay, one off, fine. Two off, fine. But where are the eyeballs, you know? And Colin, where are the best players in the world, to his point, on the PGA Tour? Like, I don't think the field of waste management is going to be that much different than the field at Saudi Arabia. In fact, from top to bottom, I guarantee it'll be stronger on the PGA Tour. You know, Brooks won the waste management last year. JT was there. Spieth was there. Finau plays there. Webb plays. I mean, like, it's like, you know, so what's it about? What's it about? It's about money. It's what it's about. It's not about growing the game. Come on, spare me.
Well, I want to know what channel these tournaments are going to be on. And if they need a broadcast team, you know who to call.
Yeah. I gotta go. I gotta start having a beer. I'm gonna start drinking right now and take a picture of my shirt off later.
You gotta go kid proof the house.
Yeah, right.
Go take all the light bulbs out of the lamps for when they fall over later.
Yeah, right.
All right, Travis.
Good stuff. Weekend. Good conversation. Thank you, everyone. Go check out the memberships. Travis Fulton Golf /membership.
Have a great Friday, everyone.
Check it out.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of Happy Hour. Have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. Cheers. Make it a great weekend.
Let's take a second to talk about the folks over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation across the golf industry and with golfers everywhere for its combination of value, performance, and customer service. Their team in Buffalo, New York, is flipping the script on golf technology through perimeter-weighted balls made with the high-density particles and proprietary nanotransitional layer, offering players enhanced accuracy, control, and distance. Encore recently added the Vero X1 to its suite of award-winning golf balls, one that already included the Golf Digest gold-rated Elixir and low compression Avant 55. Through its full suite of golf balls, Encore can help transform any golfer's game. Visit encoregolf.com/Travis Fulton for more info about Encore and start revolutionizing your game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast.